This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to the State of Politics. I'm David Fair, and I'm joined by the Managing Editor and State Capitol Bureau Chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network. Rick Pluta has served in that capacity since 1996, and as such, is the best source to let you know what's going on in state politics that may affect you and the issues you are interested in. Rick, it's good to talk with you again.
I hope I can live up to that introduction.
Listen, folks around Ann Arbor and Washtenaw County, as many school districts around the state, are paying very close attention to a case that was argued before the state Supreme Court on Wednesday of this week. The Ann Arbor schools are one of two districts being sued for adopting policies banning weapons in school. In the end, the High Court did agree to hear the case later in the year. You were there Wednesday for the arguments, Rick, and I think it's safe to say that there is passion on both sides of this, right?
Oh, absolutely. As you would expect in anything that involves gun rights, that this is an issue that's being fiercely debated throughout the country, and Michigan and Washtenaw County are no exception.
You had an opportunity very briefly to talk with the superintendent of the Ann Arbor schools, and Janice Swift had this to say.
We know that the presence of a gun in school carried by anyone other than a sworn officer of the law is a disruption. It is dangerous, it is risky, and is counterproductive to everything that we're wired to do in education.
And therein lies the argument on one side of things, those representing the school districts. What was the argument from gun rights advocates?
Well, she was arguing on the why schools want to be able to ban guns. And then on the other side, you've got gun rights advocates arguing that allowing people to bring firearms into places like schools makes them safer because the gun bearers are in a position to protect people in active shooter situations. But the case is actually going to be decided on a myriad of legal technicalities.
And based on some of the questions put forth by the justices, what may it really hinge on? What is the primary question?
We're dealing with two state laws here and how they interact. One of them is that Michigan has a concealed pistol law that creates what are called gun-free zones, where people aren't allowed to carry concealed weapons. However, because of the way that that law was drafted, in schools, for example, if you have a concealed pistol license, you can't carry a concealed pistol, but you can openly carry a firearm. And that's what two men did, in one in Ann Arbor and one in Clio, and that's what led to this litigation. They say that the concealed pistol law allows them to openly carry, and there is another state law. It's called the Firearm Preemption Law, and it says cities, townships, villages, and counties are not allowed to adopt gun ordinances that are stricter than the state law. And the gun rights advocates say that school districts are skirting, at the very least, the intent of that law.
Based on your knowledge of the makeup of this Supreme Court, do we have a precedent or some indication of how they tend to rule on these kinds of gun issues?
You know what? I think that the best hints, but they're not determinative, really come from the questions that the justices asked. And so, for example, Justice Bridget Mary McCormick, she's a Democrat. By the way, her son goes to Ann Arbor Pioneer, said, well, maybe it's not one or the other, that the schools are arguing that because schools are not specifically listed in the firearm preemption law, that they're therefore not covered by it. And Justice McCormick said, well, maybe we can have it both ways, that it's not a crime to openly carry a firearm into a school if you have a license, but just because it's not a crime, that doesn't mean that schools aren't in a position to be able to say, we still don't want them here, and if you try to bring a firearm onto a school campus, we will ask you to leave.
Did you get a different sense from Justice Markman or any of the others when they posed their questions?
Justice Brian Zara, who's also a Republican, told the gun rights groups that he actually didn't see anything that specifically said schools could not do that, and he was interested because this Republican-led court, considers itself strict constructionist, that they go by the letter of the law. Justice Markman, the Chief Justice, also a Republican, asked both sides, show me something in black letter law where it's written that says specifically that schools cannot do this, or conversely to the schools, something that says specifically that you can. And I don't think that he ever got a satisfactory answer to that inquiry.
Do we have any sense of a timeline for a decision?
This is a case that is dense, it is complex, it is controversial, and it's also an issue that's currently before the legislature, which has a bill. It's stuck in the House Judiciary Committee right now, but there is an active bill to try and clear up this loophole in the concealed pistol law. And Justice Markman in particular seemed concerned about the court doing something that might be contrary to what the legislature does. We could conceivably see a situation where we have the legislature and the Supreme Court circling each other, waiting for the other one to do something before they figure out what they're going to do next. However, the court does have a deadline that it has to act by the end of the summer. Otherwise, this case gets kicked into the next session and it would have to hear arguments all over again.
And not entirely out of the realm of possibility, given it is a big election year.
Not entirely out of the realm of possibility, but extremely, extremely, extremely rare.
Well, we'll certainly be following along on that front. Once again, you're listening to The State of Politics, and my partner with all of the Lansing Insights is Rick Pluta, who heads up the Michigan Public Radio Network. Rick, of all the political conversations that are demanding attention, I don't know that there are any more engaging right now than a couple of water issues. This week, we learned that Enbridge Line 5 gas and oil pipeline running through the Straits of Mackinac had been dinged up by a passing ship. This is a 65-year-old pipeline that for years many have called to be decommissioned or at very least rerouted and out from under the Straits. How is the recent news from the Straits playing in the state capitol right now?
You know what? This has gone from an issue that had been embraced by kind of the environmental left, that Line 5 is not safe, that we shouldn't have an oil pipeline running anywhere under the Great Lakes, especially after what we saw happen in Kalamazoo and the big Enbridge oil spill there. But more and more, this is being embraced by Republicans. The Republican state senator from up in Traverse City has said it is time to shut down Line 5 while we figure out what's happening next. Governor Snyder has said it's time to shut down Line 5 and switch to a system where the pipeline is tunneled beneath the Straits of Mackinac, and he's asked Attorney General Bill Schuette to look into suing Enbridge in order to make that happen. Enbridge is basically really, really on defense, that they say that the line is safe, that it is still structurally sound, that we haven't seen anything specifically go wrong in terms of oil escaping into the Straits, and that they're willing to work with authorities to keep the line open.
It's going to be interesting to see how that too plays out, because by all accounts, regardless of where people lay on it, should that leak occur and should it be of any major capacity, then the Great Lakes and the Straits are in serious harm's way.
There will be hell to pay environmentally and politically if that happens.
Indeed. And of course, there is the Nestle's water withdrawal issue. The MDEQ recently granted the maker of the Ice Mountain bottled water brand an increase in the amount of water it may withdraw from 250 to 400 gallons per minute. That's raising eyebrows not only across Michigan and neighboring Great Lakes states, but across the country. Any overt reaction among lawmakers since the legislature returned from spring recess to that?
Well, yeah, this is one that breaks more along party lines, with Republicans saying that Nestle has every right to ask for this and that the resources sound enough that they can do this. Democrats saying, hey, look, we at least ought to be making more money off Nestle on this if we're going to allow them to withdraw a public resource from the ground. One of the things that's compounding some people's frustration is there was a lengthy public comment period on this, and a lot of public comments came in. And after the decision was made, the director of the State Department of Environmental Quality said, yeah, we heard the public comments. However, we really couldn't take them into consideration in what's supposed to be a scientific decision. That certainly frustrated some people.
I have heard from some local lawmakers here that Heidi Grether may have been mistaken in some of her contentions in making that statement about being required to allow the permit to move forward. As I mentioned earlier, Rick, we're about to hit the heart of the primary campaign season. Will these gun and water issues play a much more important role than perhaps they have in recent election years, given what is in the news today?
They could. I mean, we are right now, the expectation is that we are looking at a blue wave this year, a big Democratic turnout. We just don't know how big of a wave. And the question is, will these controversies over gun rights inspire people to get out and vote? Will these controversies over water inspire people to get out and vote more than they would have, and I mean this on both sides, more than they would have otherwise? You know, I'm not so sure.
Rick, I appreciate you staying on top of all of this and sharing it with us, and we'll look forward to our next conversation on the state of politics.
Always a pleasure.
That is Rick Pluta, the managing editor and State Capitol Bureau Chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network and our partner for the new feature, The State of Politics. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.